Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And while I don't always have, or even usually have, conspiracy theories for Conspiracy Theory Thursday, I leave that up to my audience. Every once in a while, I will launch one for you. And one of the conspiracies I've been hearing about for the better part of the last 9, maybe even 10 months, is that the numbers we're being presented to describe China virus in America or in the Northwest are actually phony. And what I usually say is, well, if those are bad numbers, tell me where to get the good numbers, because usually the only way you can disprove one set of numbers is if you can offer either a logical reason why those numbers should not be believed or an alternate set of numbers that have a better basis to them. Well, guess who actually went out and did that? The Freedom Foundation of Washington State. And Maxford Nelson is the director of labor policy at the Freedom Foundation. Max, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Lars.
So what brought about the idea that the Freedom Foundation should actually do an analysis and take a look at the numbers coming out of the Washington State Department of Health and why those numbers were fraudulent? Maybe fraudulent is too strong if we can't say somebody deliberately amped up the numbers. But at this point, a great many Americans, including me, do not trust most of the numbers coming out of most of the bureaucracies. Should we?
Well, I think there's a great reason to be skeptical based on the information that we've analyzed from the Washington State Department of Health about the number of purported COVID-19 deaths in our state. We started digging into this issue back in the spring, back in May to begin with. And initially, we just asked the Department of Health, hey, how are you counting COVID deaths? What's the criteria that you use to consider a death COVID-related? And we were told by state officials at the time that they consider any person who dies after testing positive to be a COVID death. Well, the problem with that is, just because you tested positive a few weeks ago for the virus doesn't mean that your death a few weeks later was caused by the virus.
Yep.
And so when we reported on this originally and pressed the state for some more numbers, we discovered that and the state admitted that they were even including gunshot victims in the tally of COVID-19 deaths. And so there was some attention paid to that issue at the time, and Department of Health said, well, we're going to do a better job going forward. We're going to remove some of these questionable deaths from the count, and we're going to start providing more detailed information that categorizes the deaths into, you know, confirmed COVID cases or maybe suspected or likely COVID cases and then ones that we've ruled out. Well, that never happened. We never got that additional data. So to date, we only have one number, one cumulative count on the state's data dashboard that gets updated. And, you know, we haven't had the ability to analyze the data behind that number until now.
Okay, so how big a flaw in the numbers is there? Is there a way of characterizing that?
I would say probably in the 10 to 20% range. What we did, and it took us this long, it took us since May to actually get this information from the state. We were able to get the death certificate cause of death information for all of the 2,000 approximately deaths that the State Department of Health attributed to COVID-19 as of September 4. And the reason for the delay is the state just likes to take a long time to release information. And so of those 2,000 death certificates, you know, linked to reported COVID deaths, we found 170 that contained no reference to COVID-19 at all. Another 171 death certificates suggest the decedent may have been infected by the virus or exposed to it and might have been a contributing factor to their death, but was not part of the direct chain of events leading to death. The most concerning thing, though, Lars, are the dozens of death certificates that we found that pretty clearly suggest the death was not COVID-related.
So not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form COVID-related.
It certainly doesn't look that way. So, yep. You know, for example, individuals who, according to the death certificate, died of methamphetamine overdoses and intoxication,
yep.
An individual who died from alcoholic liver disease. There were several cases where the reference to COVID on the death certificate was to note that the person had previously been infected by the virus but had recovered weeks prior before their passing. Or maybe they'd been infected by it in May, but when they died in July, they had repeated negative tests, prior to their death. There were a number of cases of elderly individuals who fell, you know, and suffered, you know, blunt force injuries that were responsible for their death. But maybe they were in an adult family home or a nursing home facility and had COVID exposure. So that became reported as a COVID death. Many examples like that, and that's very concerning.
I'm talking to Maxford Nelson. He's director of labor policy at the Freedom Foundation. We talked to Freedom Foundation about a number of other issues as well. But do you get the sense that the public health folks know what a big problem they're creating by allowing any kind of, you know, any kind of daylight at all between solid numbers and numbers that are sketchy? Because I think they've created a problem that's much bigger, because I now get people saying, well, if some of the numbers are phony, then they're all phony. And, you know, that isn't necessarily a logical conclusion you'd reach, but it's not one that I would, if they say, well, the number is this, but the number is phony, but we don't know how phony it is, so therefore we're led to believe that it could be all phony. I mean, the way judges often tell juries, if you find that a witness has lied in some of his or her testimony, you are free to believe none of his testimony, or some of it, or a little bit of it. And judges actually tell that to juries when they're making the most some of the most consequential decisions that we have. They're saying, if you find that something, if Maxford Nelson gets up and says his name is Maxford Larson, and you find out, well, he lied about his name, well, I'm not going to believe anything he says then. And it's not an unreasonable thing for people to do, that if the public officials say, we're going to amp up the numbers, perhaps for political reasons, for funding reasons, for getting people to take it seriously reasons, whatever reason they want to give, you lie to me about some of it, I may not believe another thing you tell me. Do they realize they're creating that problem?
Well, I certainly hope that they're figuring it out, Lars, because you're absolutely right. This type of problem, or just overstating what the data represents, is hugely damaging to the credibility of public health officials. There absolutely are people who have died because of COVID, or have died and COVID played a contributing role in their death. That's absolutely true. But here's what I think what's going on, Lars. I think our public health officials have created a system for flagging deaths that is very broad, and they want to make sure that it's over-inclusive so that they don't leave anything out. And to a certain extent, that's reasonable. This is a new
virus.
That is
reasonable.
People want to study it. We want to oversample and make sure that we're, you know, just to make sure that we're catching everything. The problem is that then on the communication side, or in the governor's office, all of a sudden, whatever that oversample number is, that's the number. And all of a sudden, it's the definitive number. And so, you know, we see in the press releases that come out from the Department of Health every day, you know, this is the number of people who have died because of COVID. Governor Inslee's press releases or press conferences, you know, this is the number of Washingtonians that have died from COVID. And that's just not an accurate statement of what the number really represents.
Hey Maxford, can you stick for another segment? Because there are a couple of things about this. I want to flesh this out, because this is something of great concern to my audience. They've certainly voiced that concern. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's the Radio Northwest Network, serving Oregon, Washington, and Idaho with honestly provocative talk radio. Maxford Nelson is with me from the Freedom Foundation. Max, the reason I held you over is that a lot of these number questions involving how many people have China virus, COVID, whatever you want to call it, coronavirus, they are hugely important, as you and I talked about. One of the ones I've run into recently, and I was depending on it to some extent for the first half of this year, is that, you know, scientists, especially the demographic folks, study what are called excess deaths. That is, you know about how many people are going to die every day, every week, every month, every year in the United States from all causes. And so when you have something that enters the equation like the China virus, and you say, well, is it actually causing, you know, more deaths, or other deaths just being relabeled? Because that's been a popular theory among people to say, well, this isn't the China virus. It's actually, it's the flu, or it's something else. And I've pointed out that for much of this year, all the countries affected by this have said, we've had excess deaths. And by that, they mean if you take a 5-year average or a 10-year average of how many deaths happen in a certain population, like the United States or any other country, and then you say, what do those numbers show this year? And they say they're up dramatically. Except my understanding now is that they're now starting to say, well, maybe the excess deaths aren't happening either. And I don't know whether you took a look at those numbers or not, because if the average number of deaths in Oregon or Washington or Idaho is X number of deaths per year, it's always going to go up or down a little bit, depending on natural causes, on accidents, on major disasters, things like that. But it shouldn't go up or down very much. if something new comes in, like COVID, and it causes deaths to go up by a couple of thousand, you would see that kind of increase, you would think. Have you looked at those things at all?
Well, it's a great question, Lars, and in a few weeks' time, I may have a more informed answer for you on that. We do have the data to start analyzing questions like that, at least for Washington State, and it's taken us months to get to this point, but we do have detailed data on deaths for the last several years overall in Washington State, and I will tell you, it looks like we are experiencing excess deaths this year.
That's what I was finding as well. Yeah.
And the data we have for this year is just through the first three quarters of the year. But it does look like we're experiencing excess deaths. What is curious to me, at least on first impressions, is that the excess deaths don't appear to be happening in the populations that are most susceptible to COVID-19. If you look at, the 2,000-some-odd individuals that the state of Washington attributes COVID-19 to their death, and you break it down by age group, and this is not news. This has been, common knowledge now for a while. It affects the elderly, the very elderly, much yep. more harmful to them than it is to middle-aged or younger individuals. So you would expect that a new virus, introduced into otherwise normal settings that predominantly causes death in the elderly or the infirm, that you would tend to see those excess deaths be clustered among those types of populations. And that's not what I'm seeing so far. It tends to be, again, very preliminary look at the numbers here, but what I'm seeing so far is that the excess deaths seem to be accruing in the younger populations that are not susceptible to COVID.
Now,
I don't
that
know
doesn't
what
make
the explanation
sense, does
is.
It?
No, it doesn't. And I don't know what the explanation is yet. I got to study this more, but preliminarily it's a surprising finding.
So do the public health folks have any comment on that to say, well, here's why you're seeing that funny number?
Not yet. And to be honest, I haven't approached them about it just yet. Again, I still have some homework to do on this issue. But it's curious. It's definitely curious.
Because, Max, one of the things that I've, for instance, let me give you an illustration, okay? I've known a number of people with AIDS. I know a number of people who are alive with AIDS. AIDS used to be an 18-month death sentence when I started covering it in the 80s. It's not anymore. You often live a long life, maybe not as long. Do you know it is literally true that most of the people with AIDS do not die of AIDS?
It's not a subject I'm super familiar with, but I believe, if I remember, it harms your immune system and you die of other things.
Yeah, you die of pneumonia, you die of cancer, but all of those things happen because of the AIDS. Now, there are also people with AIDS who die in car crashes or get shot, unfortunately, or whatever. But when I tell people that, they say, well, what does that mean? I say, because there was a number that came out from the CDC that said only 6% of the people with COVID die of COVID specifically. And they said, see, they're admitting that they're off by 95%. I said, no, the other people are dying, but they're dying of pneumonia or they're dying of blood clots, all of which came about because of the COVID. So, and they're trying to use that as a way to say, well, then the problem doesn't exist, or it largely doesn't exist, because 94% of it is something else. I said, but the something else happened because of that. And they said, but these people are old anyway. They're going to die fairly soon anyway, which I think is really a lousy attitude, frankly. But almost any disease is going to take more of the infirm than it is. If you get cancer and you're 25 years old and otherwise healthy, the same treatment that might save you may kill somebody who gets it when they're 75 instead of 25. So I get that the age and the other comorbidities are going to be problematic. There are probably things you can do to treat a 25-year-old healthy cancer victim that you can't do to a 75-year-old who's already in bad shape with other things. But I just wish that the public health folks had said, let's be abundantly honest about this. Let's count everybody who's ever tested positive, and let's have a list. And then let's say, out of that list, these people died. And of the people who died, these people died of COVID directly, small number. These people died of pneumonia brought on by COVID, blood clots brought on by COVID, other things, failures that were brought on by COVID. And then there's this whole string of numbers over here that had COVID in them, and they got killed in a car wreck. or they fell off a mountaintop, or whatever it was that killed them. But let's put it all out there and be wholly transparent. What I don't understand is why the public health people, that would have been a relatively easy thing for them to do, to section those numbers out. Because if you say we've got 100,000 people who tested positive for COVID, you go, great, what happened to them? Well, you know, 2,000 of them died of COVID, 80,000 or, you know, 75,000 of them recovered. And you say, well, what happened to the last 5 or 6,000? You say, we don't know. No, you have the information, just put it together and then make it so transparent that anybody can look at the numbers and say, oh, okay, I see what happened to all of them. Instead of saying, we're going to lump everybody in and then just say, if you had COVID in you and you got hit by a truck, then you died of COVID or you died with COVID. You know, when they start to use, you know, that kind of language where I have to diagram their sentence like I used to have to with Bill Clinton. What is he actually saying when he says he didn't have sex with Monica Lewinsky? Well, he's saying he did something with her, but he didn't have sex with her. I mean, I hate having to decode what public officials are saying to find the truth somewhere in their twisted words.
And you're totally on point here, Lars. And that's what we would like to see coming out of this is greater detail from the Department of Health and categorization of the deaths into those buckets that you described. These are the folks that we know, you know, died because of COVID or it played a direct role in their death. These are the folks who maybe had it in the background. These are the folks that, you know, we're still looking into. And, you know, this is the number that we've ruled out. And the funny thing is, the Department of Health, after our first report came out in May, said they were going to start doing that and providing those different categories in an updated fashion. And they still have not done it. 6 months after the fact, they still have not done it. All we get is that one number on the state dashboard. This is how many people have died from COVID. And that's the number that gets repeated in the talking points okay. And at the press conferences and throughout the press.
Real quick, because I'm up against the clock. Where can people read the results of your research, Maxie?
Everything is up on our website, freedomfoundation.com. It's right there on the homepage.
I really appreciate it. That's Maxford Nelson, who's Director of Policy for the Freedom Foundation.